The Lord be with you.
And also with you.
Good morning, welcome to St. Timothy. This day's Father's Day, right? Happy Father's Day to everyone, and also we're doing a little grads and dads celebration, so excited for that. Today is the fourth Sunday after Pentecost. Start losing count when you start getting into it. But today we still hear God's Word as it grows in our lives, and we're excited for that. I do have just two quick things before beginning, and keep in your prayers. One of our friends of St. Timothy, Don Cantor, he was a call me yesterday, but he was in a motorcycle accident on Friday. He had a fractured rib and a fractured ankle. He's doing all right. He's on painkillers, and he's at home, so it wasn't too bad, but still has to do a few visits to the doctor. So just remember to keep him in your prayers, and if you think of calling or sending a card, that would be great. He's doing good. And then secondly, a little news for a member of our church, Carrie Weaven. She's the young lady with Trenton as her son. She's getting married this Saturday to her fiance Chris, and so that's good news, celebration, and pray for them and their marriage, and we'll have them in our prayers for next Sunday. So good things going on. I think that's good. So let's begin by singing our first hymn found in our first book. This is the day which the Lord has made.
Let us rejoice and be glad in it.
From the rising of the sun to its setting,
the name of the Lord is to be praised.
Better is one day in your courts than 1,000 elsewhere.
I would rather be a doorkeeper in the house of my God than dwell in the tents of the wicked.
Make me to know your ways, O Lord.
Teach me your paths.
Sanctify us in your truth. From the rising of the sun to its setting,
the name of the Lord is to be praised.
O
We sing.
The Old Testament reading for the fourth Sunday after Pentecost is from Job chapter 38. Then the Lord answered Job out of the whirlwind and said, "Who is this that darkens counsel by words without knowledge? dress for action like a man. I will question you, and you make it known to me. Where were you when I laid the foundation of the earth? Tell me if you have understanding. Who determined its measurements? Surely you know. Or who stretched the line upon it? On what were its bases sunk? Or who laid its cornerstone when the morning stars sang together and all the sons of God shouted for joy? Or who shut in the sea with doors when it burst out from the womb? When I made clouds its garment and thick darkness its swaddling band, and prescribed limits for it and set bars and doors and said, thus far shall you come and no farther, and here your proud waves be stayed. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
The epistle is from 2 Corinthians chapter 6. Working together with them, then, we appeal to you not to receive the grace of God in vain. For he says, in a favorable time I listened to you, and in a day of salvation I have helped you. Behold, now is the favorable time. Behold, now is the day of salvation. We put no obstacle in anyone's way, so that no fault may be found with our ministry. But as servants of God, we commend ourselves in every way. By great endurance, in afflictions, hardships, calamities, beatings, imprisonments, riots, labors, sleepless nights, hunger, by purity, knowledge, patience, kindness, the Holy Spirit, genuine love, by truthful speech, and the power of God, with the weapons of righteousness for the right hand and for the left, through honor and dishonor, through slander and praise, we are treated as impostors and yet are true, as unknown and yet well known, as dying and behold we live, as punished and yet not killed, as sorrowful yet always rejoicing, as poor yet making many rich, as having nothing yet possessing everything. We have spoken freely to you, Corinthians. Our heart is wide open. You are not restricted by us, but you are restricted in your own affections. In return, I speak as to children, widen your hearts also. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
Please stand.
Catechism and remember the words that we learned, and
further grow in our faith. And so with these, how we do it is that I will name the topic. I will say the topic, whether it be second commandment, second article. And then together we will speak what that topic is. And then I'll ask the question, what does this mean? And then together we will speak the explanation. The second commandment.
You shall not misuse the name of the Lord your God.
What does this mean?
You should fear and love God, so that you do not curse, swear, use satanic arts, lie, or deceive by his name, but call upon him in every trouble, pray, praise, and give thanks.
The second article.
I believe in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended into hell. The third day he rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and sits at the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From thence he will come to judge the living and the dead.
What does this mean?
I believe that Jesus Christ, true God, begotten of the Father from eternity, and also true man, born of the Virgin Mary, is my Lord, who has redeemed me, a lost and condemned person, purchased and won me from all sins, from death and from the power of the devil, not with gold or silver, but with his holy precious blood, and with his innocent suffering and death, that I may be his own and live under him. And serve him in everlasting righteousness, innocence, and blessedness, just as he is risen from the dead, lives and reigns to all eternity. This is most certainly true.
Introduction to the Lord's Prayer.
Our Father, who art in heaven.
What does this mean?
With these words, God tenderly invites us to believe that he is our true Father, and that we are his true children, so that with all boldness and confidence, we may ask him as dear children, ask their dear Father.
We sing on him. in the name of Jesus. Amen. Could it do something a little different? Get a little participation out of this, to be honest. This could go really well. This could go down the tubes. But anyway, our reading for today is from Mark chapter 4, and we're dealing with Jesus and the calming of the storm. I don't want you to look at it in your bulletin. Don't go in there yet. Because I want to get a little hand raised for you. You don't have to, well, you can raise them up high. But I have a question. In the text, when are the disciples most afraid? When are the disciples most afraid? Was it the hurricane and the winds storming on the boat? Or was it when Jesus calmed the storm? If you think it's the first one, raise your hand. Okay. And were they more afraid when Jesus calmed the storm? Raise your hand. Okay. Well, now if we look at our bulletin, you can see they actually just tell us which one it is. In verse 40, he said to them, "Why are you so afraid? Have you still no faith?" And they were filled with great fear and said to one another, "Who then is this, that even the wind and sea obey him?" They were more afraid of when Jesus calmed the storm. Actually, in the original, maybe the English doesn't give it a clear meaning, but in the original, there is two words for fear. The verb for fear, and then the noun for fear, and then you use the Greek word mega, which is great fear. So they feared a greater fear of Jesus when he calmed the storm. And so the text invites us to consider our own fears. What do we fear? And so I'm going to ask you to participate again, because we also have our own fears. And they come in many various ways. I know spiders. I'm afraid of. Sometimes people are afraid of heights or flying. They can't fly in a plane. Sometimes our fears come out in fear of failure, not living up to our potential. Fears financially, of course, whether or not I can make the payments or if I have enough money to cover the medical bills. Certainly there are fears socially, whether feeling alone or not participating or taking part in things. But I want to ask you, you don't have to tell me your fears, but what are things that people are legitimately fearful of? What are things that you can think of? I'm going to have to meet some bold people to maybe raise their hand and tell me a fear.
Spiders.
Spiders? Oh, absolutely, spiders. What's the right fears?
Snakes.
What's that?
Snakes.
Snakes? Mm-hmm. Yes. Spiders and snakes. Indiana Jones was very scarce.
Heights. Heights.
What's that?
Heights.
Heights. Heights. Oh, yeah. Fear of heights.
Budapest.
Budapest. Just Sweden in general. Gary.
Distracted drivers.
Distracted drivers.
Yeah.
That's what you're hearing.
Oh, yeah.
COVID or other illness?
COVID illness? Oh, absolutely. Illness. Yeah. Hang there for a moment.
Being alone.
Sorry, being alone.
Yeah.
Being alone. Yeah, fear of not having one in there anymore.
Fear of crowds.
Crowds.
They bother me a lot.
Being in a crowd.
Crowds.
Fear of being overwhelmed by the people around you. Okay. Be interested. You have something?
Public speaking.
You know, for a long time there, public speaking was, I think it still is, the number one fear for people, even above death, fear of public speaking. I'll put that down. I've heard of other fears before. One that keeps coming up lately for me, or I see on Facebook, is fear of government overreach, which is kind of a unique problem for us because in the history of the world, it wasn't so much fear of overreach, but fear of the government actually doing something. Well, that's good. I'm looking at all these fears. Some of them are pretty simple, but some of them might even be real emotional, maybe deep sensation of fear. And it makes me wonder, and maybe part of the problem for us, and from what we gather from our text, is that maybe we put our fear in the wrong things. I mean the disciples for us, give us a perfect, legitimate fear. And keep in mind that these guys are fishermen. They probably grew up on this lake in Galilee. They weren't just regular sailors who taken Jesus across Galilee. They actually had experience. And this storm was large enough for them to be fearful, to have this overcome of fear. And yet Jesus still turns on them with those words of rebuke. Why are you so afraid? Do you still not have faith? Maybe we could understand their predicament, given our own situation where we live, close to the sound. I don't know what the storms are like out on the water. Many of you might know a thing or two. But even those of you who are maybe experienced sailors yourself or know of someone, they know, you know, that you don't want to be on the waters in a particular storm. This is the kind of fear that overwhelmed them. And Jesus gives those stinging remarks that as I look at our own list and as I consider these things, and maybe some of them might be a little silly, but serious things like illness, fear of being alone, fear of what might happen, the unexpected, makes me wonder what would, if I were to hand this off to him and he were to take a look, would he say the same thing? Why are you so afraid? Have you still no faith? Well, the storm was frightening for the disciples, and it was a legitimate fear they had, and it's hard to say what all these other fears for us will be just as legitimate. But there is something much more worthy of fear than what we have here listed, than what the disciples had. And for them, it was standing face to face with the God of creation. The God who knows all things, the God who controls all things, the God who can speak a word and cause a hurricane to stop. I doubt that he yelled. And it's this God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, this God of Moses, and even the God of Job, who is far more worthy of fear. Job is another interesting one, and it actually fits quite nicely with our readings today, because Job is also dealing with fear of the Lord. Chapter 38 is actually the response that God finally gives to Job. So for 37 chapters, Job is dealing with his friends, talking about the calamity in his life and his own suffering under God. But the whole book of Job is seeking to answer this one question that Satan has of God. And it's back in chapter 1, verse 9. Satan asks of God, does Job fear God for no reason? Does Job fear God more than anything else in creation? More than losing his home, more than losing the life he built and the family he had, does Job fear God for nothing? And it's for 37 chapters that Job struggles with this with his friends, and they try to come up with reasons and ways why to understand why God would let this stuff happen to him. Is it because Job did something wrong? Is it because God actually hates Job? All these problems, but those 37 chapters can be summed up in the words that the disciples said to Jesus in our text. Lord, do you not care that we are perishing? And that's a legitimate question. And Job reminds us what the fear of God looks like. Because in Job 38, we don't get a nice message. We get God who turns to Job
who Job, after asking these questions and seeking this sort of thing, God comes before him and he says, who do you think you are? Where were you from the foundations of the world? Were you there when I put in the rivers and the seas? Were you there when I determined the measurements? Oh, of course, you must know. He puts Job in his place. He doesn't answer Job's question because God's the one who asks the questions. Who do you think you're dealing with? God is God, not you. In our reading, God doesn't give Job the answer to his question. You have to read after chapter 38 to know. But we know the answer to the question. We know the answer to, do you care that we are perishing? Does God care? Well, we have to look at Mark chapter 4, because the answer we see from Jesus makes it pretty clear. He rebukes the storm with a word, peace, showing to us that he does care. He cared for the safety of his disciples, and he is the only one truly worthy of fear. And he desires to save the disciples. Not only them, but all who are perishing. God is the only one worthy of fear. And that's why Luther was so ingenious in his explanation of all the commandments. Starts the same. We should fear and love God. God is the only one worthy of fear. And Jesus reminds us again that God does care. That he sent his son for all those who are perishing, for all those who are afraid. Do not fear the wrong things. There's plenty in this world that can hurt us, and there's plenty of things that we listed here that cause us concern and force us to pursue help. But when compared to the one who reigns and rules over all creation, they are entirely unworthy of your fear. You do not need to fear, because the one, the only one, truly worth fearing has shown that he is willing and able to save us from perishing. He shows it to the disciples. He showed it to you in his resurrection and baptism and in the Lord's Supper that we receive. He shows to you that he cares for you and that he will save you. From our teaching today, we remember that introduction of the Lord's Prayer. Good timing, right? On Father's Day. It's almost by design. We read, "Our Father who art in heaven." And it's with these words that God tenderly invites us to believe that he is our true Father, and that we are his true children, and that he cares. And Father's Day is a good day to remember that. I know this message doesn't magically relieve us of the fears and anxieties which bother us and harass us. For the promised message is not an antidote or a miracle vaccine, but it does provide for you a foundation from which to look at all those other fears. And what we do with those fears, we're able to seek help from those whom God has equipped to help us, from our Christian brothers and sisters, from counselors and doctors, from pastors, from the church. But we can be assured to bring those fears before the one who has all authority to calm the storms and rule over his creation. May the Lord continue to give you courage and wisdom to overcome those fears and to trust that the Lord cares for you, that he saves you, and you belong to him. In the name of Jesus, amen. We continue by singing our hymn for all the saints, the last four verses. Lord, remember us in your kingdom and teach us to pray.
Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen.
We thank you, Lord, for your steadfast love and your wondrous works for the children of men. You hold power over wind and waves, sin and death. Deliver us from every trouble and distress, and bring us at last to our eternal haven. Merciful God, hear our prayer.
Heavenly Father, open wide the hearts of Christians to one another, especially within the home and between neighbors. Let love be genuine, speech truthful, and patience constant. Merciful God, hear our prayer.
God of our salvation, you have ushered in the favorable time and the day of salvation through the incarnation of our Lord Jesus Christ. Let your grace be proclaimed through every hardship, struggle, and suffering, and encourage us by the example of many saints to consider ourselves rich and alive despite every opposition. For since we have Christ, we possess everything. Merciful God, hear our prayer.
Lord of all knowledge, you alone laid the earth's foundations and set the limits in order of creation. Bless all noble sciences that plumb the depths of your creation. Give students, teachers, and researchers joy in their discoveries and humility before your majesty. Merciful God, hear our prayer.
Gracious You see that we are perishing, yet you bid us to set our fears aside and trust in you for the sake of Christ, by whose blood we have received peace for our troubled consciences. Do not reject our prayers for their faithfulness, but teach us to trust in you fully. Give your protection and peace to those in need, especially Major, Wayne, Sanda, Pastor Flapp, Joyce, Sharon, Sylvia, Thurza, Alex, Debbie, Bella, Ava, Esther, and Donna. We remember as well your saints who are unable to gather with us in our fellowship, especially Sanda, Barbara, Millie, Sylvia, Gertrude, Mary, Thurza and Jim, and Alex. Merciful God, hear our prayer.
Holy Lord, you rule and care for this world. Give to our souls service, respect, and recognition of your creation and its nature. Bless Joe, Jay, and those in authority to govern with knowledge and wisdom for justice, to protect life and rule right. Merciful God, hear our prayer.
Good Lord, we finally pray for your church, gathered here and across the world. We ask that your word grow in the midst of your people, that our lives may be a witness of the truth and reality you bestow, and by your grace endure to the end. These and whatever else you would have us ask of you, O God, grant us for the sake of Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever.
Amen. Amen.
Almighty God, in your mercy, guide the course of this world so that your church may joyfully serve you in godly peace and quietness. Through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever.
Amen.
We pray together.
I thank you, my heavenly Father, through Jesus Christ, your dear Son, that you have kept me this night from all harm and danger. And I pray that you would keep me this day also from sin and every evil, that all my doings and life may be pleased to you. For into your hands I commend myself, my body and soul, and all things. Let your holy angel be with me, that the evil foe may have no power over me. Amen.
We sing.
Thank you.
We have a few announcements today and a couple things I wanted to bring to your attention. We still have the Aqua Sox game coming up on next Tuesday, June 29th. Still, you were able to sign up to out there, lectern, and we'd love to have you. It's a good time. I know you got quite a bit of sign up, so it'll be a good time. Men's breakfast will be meeting this Saturday with some blueberry pancakes. Is that right now? Yeah, blueberry pancakes. Awesome. Love it. And then wanted to announce that we're finally wrapping up our John Bible study. I was pretty excited about it. We finished the book today, and next Sunday we're going to do a conclusion of the book, and then we're going to start a study on Christian stewardship for the rest of the summer. So if any of you are interested and would like to attend, that will be a good time. And then also, real quickly, next Sunday is the fourth Sunday, so we'll have LWL mics. So remember that for your offering, and bring those. So I think that's it for me. I guess I'm going to invite Janet.
Good morning, everyone.
Good morning.
Good morning. Nice to see you all. Today we have a special opportunity to honor one of our members, and that's Beatrice Simon. And here. Beatrice is a member of our congregation, and she has been a member since she was a baby. I remember when she first came. So she is a recent graduate of Cedar Park Christian High School. Beatrice has a very impressive educational qualifications. She has a 4.0, and she was a valedictorian at her school. She has immersed herself in community service and extracurricular activities, as well as many leadership positions. She currently serves as the Associated Student Body President. She's captain of the basketball team, the volleyball team. She led her school in making plans for fun events, even during COVID. She's been involved in the National Honor Society, sports, of course, and also 4-H. She leads worship service at another church that she also attends. She's very adaptable, and she appreciates hard work, and she has a drive for excellence. We're awarding Beatrice a scholarship. This scholarship will allow her to follow God's path and to honor Him wherever He places her. Her current interests are in theology and psychology and also education. We don't know where she's going to go or what she's going to do, but she's going to do good things. Beatrice, your family here at St. Timothy would like to take this opportunity to congratulate you and acknowledge your accomplishments and to award you a $5,000 scholarship to further your education. Congratulations, Beatrice.
Thank you.